So our reading is from John's Gospel, chapter 20, starting to read at verse 19. That's page 145 in the Pew Bible, if anybody wants to follow there. Jesus appears to his disciples. It was late that Sunday evening, and the disciples were gathered together behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish authorities. Then Jesus came and stood among them. "Peace be with you," he said. After saying this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were filled with joy at seeing the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father sent me, so I send you." Then he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive people's sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." One of the 12 disciples, Thomas, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." Thomas said to them, "Unless I see the scars of the nails in his hands and put my finger on those scars and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, the disciples were together again indoors, and Thomas was with them. The doors were locked, but Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and look at my hands. Then stretch out your hand and put it in my side. Stop your doubting and believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Do you believe because you see me? How happy are those who believe without seeing me."
From doubt to faith. And so we look at Thomas. You know, in the criminal justice system, there are many high-profile lewd cases seem to stand or fall on the reliability or otherwise of one key piece of evidence or one key witness. As far as the Christian faith is concerned, Jesus' resurrection is that key evidence. Paul, writing to the church in Corinth, says that without it, our preaching and faith are useless. And if the resurrection is so central, then Thomas must be one of our key witnesses. Thomas had travelled around with Jesus. He had seen what Jesus could do. He was a friend of Jesus, one of his disciples. And yet he has had some very bad press, hasn't he, throughout history. And he gets a lot of criticism. Why was that? Well, it was because his friends, whom he had known for a number of years, told him that they had seen Jesus, the resurrected Jesus. And he doubted that they were telling him the truth. Thomas knew that Jesus existed. In fact, he had been an outspoken follower of Jesus in earlier days. But he couldn't believe that he had risen from the dead. The fact that Jesus had come back seemed to him to be too good to be true. And so it's no wonder that he got a bad press. For although he never lacked courage, he doesn't come across as one of life's optimists. In fact, we consider him to be more of a pessimist. He expected the worst possible outcome. And some might suggest that he was a skeptic. After all, he did question and doubt his friends when they told him about Jesus. Now, Oscar Wilde said this, that skepticism is the beginning of faith. And it certainly was for Thomas. However, the resurrection incident does reveal two sides to him, doesn't it? The skeptic, I will not believe. And the believer, my Lord and my God. And what was it that made the difference? It was the appearance of Jesus personally to him. Seeing was believing in his case. But believing without seeing is Christ's challenge to us. So let us take just a brief look at this incident as recorded by John. It's Thomas the skeptic. I will not believe. The incident takes place after the death of Jesus, and the disciples deserted him and fled, and they regrouped and were meeting in sheer terror behind locked doors. They were afraid that it could be their turn any moment, and they were no doubt listening for every step on the stairs, every knock of the door. And suddenly, Jesus was there with them, and he greeted them with the usual Easter greeting. Peace be with you. And it meant, may God give you every good thing. Well, Thomas was not with them on this occasion. What he had expected had happened. His friend had been put to death, and he was brokenhearted. And understandably, Thomas wanted to be alone with his grief. He wanted to face his sorrow and suffering alone. I wouldn't believe his friends when they told him that Jesus was alive. See, he needed his own evidence. And in fact, he asked for more than the other disciples had had. Sight wasn't enough. After all, it could be an hallucination, couldn't it? No, Thomas wanted to touch the risen Jesus to know that it was really him. There's one thing that strikes me about this account of Thomas. He left the fellowship. He withdrew from the Christian fellowship. And because he chose loneliness rather than togetherness, he missed the first appearance of Jesus to his disciples. You know, when we separate ourselves from the Christian fellowship, we also miss a great deal. For when we are in fellowship, things can happen to us which won't happen to us when we are alone. And when we find ourselves in times of sorrow and sadness, there is in all of us a tendency to shut ourselves up. We refuse to meet other people. But this is the very time when we should seek fellowship with other Christians, because it's there that we are likely to meet with Jesus face to face. And so Thomas refused to say that he believed when he did not believe. He would never say he understood when he did not understand. You know, Thomas is honest, and he faced his doubts. He wasn't the sort of person to rattle off a creed without understanding it. He had to be sure. And Thomas doubted in order to be sure. Thomas did not fear his doubts. They only strengthened him. And he was fortunate to have his doubts eradicated. I suspect that along with new Christians, even seasoned Christians struggle with doubt. We all face days when the task is too great, the future too bleak, and the answers too few. And like Thomas, when we are struggling, we also ask questions. If God is good, why do I feel so bad? If this message is so clear, why am I confused? If God is in control, why all the problems? As Christians, of course, we might think that there is something wrong in doubting. But if we're honest, as I say, we all have doubts from time to time. And the question is, how will we act to them? You see, doubt can, after all, stop us committing to anything. Let us move on to Thomas the believer. My Lord and my God. A week has passed and Jesus came back, and again this time Thomas was there, and Jesus invited him to make the test that he had demanded. But it would appear that the evidence at sight was, after all, sufficient for Thomas. And he was so overjoyed with love and devotion that all he could blurt out was, my Lord and my God. And so Thomas overcame his doubt. And when he was sure, he went the whole way, didn't he? My Lord and my God. There were no halfway measures with Thomas. And when you think about it, the person who has fought their way through doubt to the conviction that Jesus Christ is Lord has attained a certainty that the unthinking person can never reach. And so Thomas moved from doubt to faith. And I suggest to you that he is a key witness regards the resurrection of Jesus. And his statement of faith is personal. We note the repetition of the word my in verse 28. And his statement is also profound. Lord, he says, which has the sense of Jesus as master or owner, while God is the supreme divinity. And this marks a change in his understanding and a change in his relationship with Jesus, who is no longer his mate, if you like, but is now his sovereign king. And so this person we often think of as doubting Thomas should probably be thought of as believing Thomas. And it's interesting to note that in verse 29, Jesus doesn't praise Thomas for what he says. Perhaps it was fairly easy for Thomas to affirm faith when faced with the clear evidence of Jesus' hands and sides. In that verse, Jesus affirms those who believe without seeing him. And that's us. Today, the evidence of sight and touch is not possible because Jesus has returned to his Father. Not being able to see or feel Jesus makes believing in him hard. We can't be sure if he's real. And yet, if we have faith, he will be visible. We can see him by what he does in our lives and in the lives of others. And so Jesus says to Thomas, how blessed, how happy are those who believe without seeing me. Westcliff wrote, this is the last and greatest of the Beatitudes and is the persistent treasure of the later church. You see, when we walk with God, he blesses us, and he does so because he promised to do so, and because he can, and because it pleases him. Sometimes we may feel the touch of God strengthening us, calming us, reassuring us that he is still in control. Maybe there have been times when we have felt like giving up, and his touch has kept us going. And so we can put our trust in him at all times. And of course, believing without seeing is faith at its highest level. Faith in action and decision is an act, not a feeling. And like Thomas, we have to decide for ourselves to believe. Thomas is a first-class witness to the resurrection of Jesus. And the most amazing thing he said was to declare Jesus, my Lord and my God. Is our cry, is your cry this Easter time, my Lord and my God? So may each one of us be confident that we can handle our doubts with faith. And may we leave church this morning trusting God despite any doubts we may have. The resurrection of Jesus is not too good to be true. It is so good, it just has to be true. Amen.